This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
So we can't beat,
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. Time to go now to the Score Hotline. Brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. We love our weekly visit with Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
What's going on? How's everybody today?
Doing well. Waiting that 3 o'clock deadline, wondering what the Vikings are going to do. Sam Darnold's future, does it hang in the balance? What do you expect the news to be?
Well, I've been working on this a good bit over the past few days. I don't think anybody really knows what the Vikings are going to do. And one of the things I've picked up is folks on the outside who deal with the Vikings aren't really sure who's calling the shots. And I was surprised there was even any conversation about the Vikings using the franchise tag on Darnold, because head coach Kevin O'Connell, when he was making the rounds during Super Bowl week, he was on PFT Live, for example, he said Darnold has earned the right to become a free agent, which would imply they're not going to tag him. The fact that there's been some mystery about it speaks to the idea of some folks wonder who's really calling the shots there. So if they don't tag him, that means they don't want to pay him $40 million this year. Are they able to keep him for less than that? And then if they would sign him to a deal that essentially covers 2 years, what does that do for J.J. McCarthy? I think there's a chance McCarthy would say, if he's expected to sit on the bench for two more years, I want out. And one last point, no matter how well it went last year for Darnold, it's not going to be that easy this year. Last year, there was no McCarthy hovering if he had a bad game and the fans started clamoring for J.J. McCarthy. Last year, there were no expectations for Sam Darnold. This year, expectations high. McCarthy, if he doesn't get traded, would be on the sideline. One bad game, one bad drive, one bad throw. Darnold could be out. So I think the Vikings should just rip off the Band-Aid and go forward with McCarthy, and we'll see what they do. But if they don't tag him, that means he'll be a free agent and anyone else can sign him, just like last year when the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins away from Minnesota.
We've been having this debate, Mike, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, too, about Sam Darnold. Who needs who more? Do the Vikings need Sam Darnold more, or does Sam Darnold need the Vikings? I want to get your thoughts.
No, Darnold needs the Vikings more, because Kevin O'Connell has proven that he can take any lump of clay and mold it into a successful NFL quarterback, at least for a while. The chariot does turn back into a pumpkin once there's enough film out there that defenses can see what O'Connell's doing with a guy like Josh Dobbs or Nick Mullins. But I think Darnold needs Minnesota, and I think it's going to be hard for Darnold to really cash in, because other teams are going to say to his agent, at least as part of the negotiating process, wait a minute. Your guy's success last year was because of O'Connell. There's a good chance he comes here and we can't do the same things O'Connell can do. And he might just have to go somewhere and prove for a year that he can play at a high level without O'Connell. And then next year, maybe he's in line for a big money deal. He's still young, even though it feels like he's been around forever. I don't think he's 28 yet. So a lot of years left for Sam Darnold, and he did have a great year, but he needs the Vikings more than the Vikings need him.
Mike, there are some reports out of Green Bay that the Packers have offered one of their receivers and a first-round pick to the Seahawks for DK Metcalf. Are the Seahawks shopping DK Metcalf, and might he land with the Packers?
Well, I don't know that they're shopping him, but if the Packers reach out and initiate conversations and the Seahawks like what they hear, then maybe you listen. Metcalf entering the last year of his contract, he's a guy, it's always felt like they haven't really developed the offense to get the most out of this freakish athlete that they have. I mean, they should be having jet sweeps and bubble screens. He's in the ball in his hands and let him go. Let him run over people or run past people. So it wouldn't surprise me if teams are talking. And the reality is, this time of year, there's plenty of communications among plenty of teams about plenty of possibilities. Now, I saw some pushback from, I think, Matt Schneidman of The Athletic about the Metcalf Packers reporting, and it died down after that. So, you know, the combine is a place where everyone's together and deals can get done. Now, it doesn't mean a deal won't get done, but I don't rule anything out, because DK Metcalf isn't an untouchable player. There's only so many players in the NFL that would not be traded under any set of circumstances, and Metcalf is not one of those players.
Speaking of the combine, Mike, I didn't expect one of the headlines to be about two reporters getting into a tiff about Matt Stafford. I want to get your thoughts on what really did happen with Matt Stafford and Tom Brady in Montana.
Well, the Raiders and the Giants both were led to believe that Stafford was ready to leave the Rams. And they both put significant contract offers on the table. I've heard they both offered $100 million over 2 years. I haven't nailed that down with specificity. And this is the kind of fact that can be very elusive to confirm, because it's never in writing, it's never signed, it's never official. But my understanding is $50 million a year on a two-year deal. Stafford ultimately stayed with the Rams. The details aren't out yet. Eventually they will be. I think it's going to be $40 million for 1 year with no real guarantees for 2026. I think that he just went through the motions of flirting with the Raiders and the Giants to get the Rams to pump up their number a little bit. And I think the Rams read him perfectly. The Rams knew he didn't want to leave. And I don't know this, but I've heard enough to make me think that this is plausible. They were at 36 before this all happened. After the Raiders and the Giants flirtation, they went to 40 and Stafford took it. And that would mean he never was going to leave. He never wanted to leave. This was just about getting a little bit more from the Rams and continuing a year-to-year relationship. Cousins last year in Minnesota didn't want the year-to-year relationship. He wanted to go somewhere with more security. Stafford could have gotten that this year. He opted to stay in LA for one more year, and we'll see what happens in 2026.
Mike, I'm not sure who won the combine, but did anybody lose it?
Well, I don't know, because to me, like, the combine is primarily an effort to bring all the players together to do mass medical evaluations. One CAT scan, one X-ray, one MRI, one whatever. So they're not glowing like the Incredible Hulk after going to 30 different teams and having all those procedures. And it's cheaper too. They don't care about the players being bombarded with radiation. They care about saving money. That's how it all started. The workouts became part of it, because what the hell, we got him here anyway. The interviews, hey, we got him here anyway. I think that probably the guy who potentially lost the most is Abdul Carter, because when they poked and prodded, they found he has a stress reaction in his foot. He's not getting surgery on it, but that's the kind of thing that could cause questions about whether you roll the dice on him at the top of the draft and will he fall some. And we know that with every spot a guy falls, it's money that he loses on his rookie contract.
Mike, I know you had the chance to sit down with Ryan Poles at the Combine. I would love to hear your thoughts on what was the Bears buzz over the course of last week.
Well, yeah, we also talked to Ben Johnson as well. We talked to him right after he was hired, and he sat with us for a while last week. Look, there's a lot of stuff going on this year that creates optimism, and then it's hard not to look at that and say, well, didn't we feel the same way last year, and look what happened last year. Maybe it's different this year, but I really do think they're laying the foundation to pivot toward a team that has a dynamic offense. They really haven't had a dynamic offense in the 50-plus years I've been following the NFL. Even when they had Walter Payton, they never developed the passing game to complement the fact that you had 11 guys on defense watching Walter Payton everywhere he went. The 85 Bears, yeah, you know, there were moments. That Monday night game against the Vikings, Jim McMahon's injured, he comes in, he throws a couple of touchdown passes, but that was all driven by the defense. If they could develop a dynamic high-end offense, that really would be something. And right now, it's kind of like, let's wait and see what happens. Let's see what they do in free agency. Let's see what they do in the draft. And let's ultimately see if Ben Johnson is one of the coordinators who, when it's time to go to the next level, and it's not quite flip a coin, but for the most part, maybe it is 50-50. Some guys can make it. Maybe it's less than 50-50. Some guys who were good coordinators make it as head coaches, and some guys don't. And the only way you find out is if you jump in and try to swim.
We only got about 30 seconds left, Mike. But what's this I see about Hard Knocks offseason? No longer in North Carolina and Bill Belichick? I already set my DVR. What's the deal?
Well, it's funny. I was hearing yesterday that it was off. And this goes back to something I heard in the aftermath of the announcement. I'm not sure the folks at NFL Films dotted every I and crossed every T on whether or not the owners would be okay with giving Bill Belichick a platform on NFL Films. And yada, 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 Bill Belichick doesn't have a platform on NFL Films.
Wow.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah.
Great stuff, Mike. Appreciate your time.
Right. Thanks, Mike.
Have a good week.
Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com with all the goods. That's interesting.
Interesting. I had not thought of that. I thought, you know, my first thought was maybe there was, they wanted some access that Bill didn't want to give them.
Yeah, that's more likely, isn't
that
it?
That was my first thought, but yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense that the owners were like, this is an NFL show.
Yeah, I thought it was odd. An NFL show essentially featuring a college program.
The greatest NFL coach of all time.
Yeah, he's a college coach now, right?
Get out of town.
Well, that's Stacey Dales, maybe what she thinks. She was at the Combine. She owned it all week on the NFL Network. She will join us next on Mully and Haw. Ruthie Polinsky's in for Mully. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.